Okay, we're going to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. We have been in 2 Peter for almost 2 months, and I believe that'll be the duration of our stay. Second Peter chapter 1. We have been going through a number of verses. Today we are only going to go in verse number 7. Get all adjusted here. So last week was especially important in the way that we are seen by the world. Godliness, of course, is not how we should seek to be seen for the sake of an appearance, but how we should be perceived because of how we need to appear. I'll say it again slowly if we need to. We have covered how virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience all come before godliness, because you couldn't possibly portray godliness without those previous four things, as they are attributes of the God that we serve. God can't be seen in you if you don't like what God is. And if nothing else, God is, or to know God rather, is both the definition of virtue, the pinnacle of knowledge, the example of temperance, and the most long-suffering and patience that we could ever act. So those four come before godliness because of the attributes in which you have to portray in order to understand what godliness is. So in verse 7, it comes next in line, of course, and that would be what you add to godliness. And it says, add, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And that's what we would call in school verse 7a, because it's the first part of the verse. I saw that the first time, and I was super intrigued when I was 8 years old. So I figure I'd throw that in there. See, there are some people paying attention. That's nice. That's nice. So now that we've got everyone's attention, think with me, if you will, several known traits of the church. Put yourself in a situation. You are out and about. You're at work. You're talking to somebody. And it comes up that you are in church on Sunday. Instantly, there is a image in their mind of who you are and who you should be, stuff you should do, things you should say. That is instantly in their mind when you say that you are at church, you go to church, or your church, any one of those phrases. They are interchangeable. There are two things that they would nail down immediately in your life, and that is love and kindness. Mm-hmm. Love and kindness.
Right.
We're going to go over this aspect in two different ways and then bring it together at the end, because I think we really have to understand both aspects of this when he says brotherly kindness to really grasp what's going on here and what you're truly adding to that godliness we talked to last week. So those are the two most popular things that people in the world know Christians for. You're not allowed to judge because it's not perceived as a kind thing to do, as well as they kind of watch you for everything. When you go through the line at McDonald's and they say, would you like to round up to donate to St. Jude's? And they know that you go to church. If you say, no, thank you, not today, they go, uh-huh, and just hit the button. I did that this week. It was like, no, thanks. And they're like, uh-huh. And they hit the button. And they go on. But see, if you were to go back to your work and say, yeah, I didn't donate to St. Jude's today with my McDonald's meal. It was only 2 cents, but that's my 2 pennies. You know, they perceive that was a severely unkind, unloving thing to do of you. And if they had done it, well, they just couldn't afford it. But because you did it, you just are unkind to the people at St. Jude's. And I do donate to St. Jude's and stuff like that because I think there are some things I just don't. But does that define whether I'm a kind person or not? Okay, keep that in your mind as we go further in this here. They are watching for you to decline that donation to St. Jude's and nail you for being unkind. This is for sure one of the unspoken standards they watch us for when you declare Christianity, say you go to church, or anything like that, but ask yourself this, is it truly an unfair standard for them to have for Christianity? We say all this, we say, well, you know, we're human, we can be unkind sometimes, but in reality, they expect us to be loving and kind. Is that really an unfair standard for them to hold for Christianity? No. Because in reality, we are supposed to be loving and kind. The standard of loving kindness is different between the two, but to say that, you know, I can't believe they expect it of me just because I go to church is more unfair to say to them than it is for us to say it. Because we are to be loving and kind. So the definition thereof, I think that's where we've gotten misconstrued here, because we say, you know, we don't have, you know, it's not our obligation to be this, or it's not our obligation to be that, because they hold us to such a high standard. But they're going by their standard of kindness, and we're basing our kindness off of their standard of kindness. You see what I'm saying? We're picking up their definition and saying, well, we're not obligated to be that. And in doing so, we negate kindness altogether. And we almost try and give ourselves our own definition of what kindness is that we live up to. It's not what they think it is. It's what we think it is, and that's why it's right. So we never go back to the Bible really on kindness, because it's like a default statement that Christians are kind. So whenever the Bible mentions kindness, it's usually in the context of how we are to prove that God is in our life. It's one of the traits, one of the aspects that people see or are noticed when we go out into the world. People don't see a kind person and think that they're a wretched person. They don't look at a kind person, somebody who does many kind things, and think that they're at their core, an evil person. So it almost feels like we have taken away from kindness just for the very fact that people look for us to be kind. Because we don't want to act like that we can be pushed around, if you will. I'm not a pushover. I don't have that to give out. I don't have this. I'm a kind person, but they don't need to think that they can just get whatever they want from me. And we're right back to selfishness at its core. Because you see, kindness is when you do something for others, right? No. Doing something for others is merely a nice thing to do. The definition of kindness is not to do something for others. The world does things for others, usually with their selfie camera firmly attached to their hand.
Yeah.
So to say that kindness is doing things for others, can we say that there are a lot of kind people in the world? Or are there a lot of people that like to do things for other people for their own benefit? Especially in business classes, you'll notice they teach a lot about a tete-a-tete or a give and take, to where you do things for other people, other businesses, you give discounts to suppliers, stuff like that. Those are nice things to do for people. But it's not kindness, because they benefit from it as well. And we do the same things as human beings. We do things for other people, you know, give a little here, give a little there to get in other areas. So to say that doing for other people is kindness is a very shallow definition of what kindness truly is. So when the Bible says, add to your godliness brotherly kindness, that simply means go out and do nice things to your fellow man, correct? Wrong, because that is terribly shallow for the Christian to swallow, but it's what we've made it into. So when we come into this aspect of brotherly kindness, it cheapens down what God did for the entire world. Because that's the standard, you have to remember, that's the standard, that's the example that we're going from when we examine the scriptures, particularly in this aspect. If you look in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3 through 6, it says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And it mentions a lot of the same aspects we mentioned here, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fastings, and then it switches gears. Notice that word in, which is what we are supposed to be, which are situations that we are in, but how are we supposed to approve ourselves as ministers of God in these things, but then it switches to the word by. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. And it goes on and on and on. A lot of that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 through 6, and actually goes through verse 11, is mentioned in this same passage here in 2 Peter. It says, in these situations, by these attributes. And one of those, of course, is kindness. So if we are by doing nice things for other people, not particularly, very shallow, not there. When God mentions the aspect, this attribute, this adjective of kindness, kindness clarifies and builds upon the previous word. Who knows the laws of English when it comes to noun verbs, adjectives, adverbs, and so on and so forth? Okay. We've done algebra before. Let's do a little bit of English. So when you diagram a sentence, which was the bane of my existence in the ninth grade, you pick apart, you start with a simple line split down the middle and a simple sentence in which you were supposed to pick out the verb and the subject. This is what it's about and what it is doing. As you went on, there was some sort of huge pyramid of lines where it went this way, cut down, then there was a bridge, and then there was a basement, an upstairs, an attic, someone was on the roof, there was someone stuck in the chimney, but all these words had a purpose to what that sentence meant. And that sentence had colons, semicolons, had commas, all this other stuff, so that you could break down what it meant when somebody wrote that sentence and the importance of punctuation. That is what the exercise was for, not merely torturing me, which it certainly felt like in ninth grade. What I didn't know in ninth grade is how good handy that would come in when I was reading stuff in real life. Whether it was a book, the Bible, whatever it was, it benefited me to get the full meaning of that sentence because you were able to narrow down nouns, subjects, verbs, adverbs, adjectives, conjunctions, and so on and so forth, and the importance of their placement. When you look up the word kind, it does not say noun. It says adjective, which means it clarifies. A noun. Godliness is a noun. Kindness is the adjective which clarifies the noun. Who's ready to diagram some sentences? Because I thought about bringing about a chalkboard and just go crazy with it. But we're not going to today. This is not an English class. However, understanding it greatly broadens our understanding. So when you say add to your godliness, brotherly kindness, you are clarifying the previous word of godliness. Godliness is how we are perceived by the world, and kindness is the action that clarifies it. You are clearly building off of godliness to come up with brotherly kindness. We're going to look at the word brotherly later on in the lesson, but we really need to nail down that kindness is not simply a word in which we act upon to make other people happy for our benefit. Kindness is there to back up our statement of godliness. God, in his loving kindness, came to this world. What benefit did God have in coming to this world? So to say that in his loving kindness he came to this world under the definition of doing something for other people for their benefit, of course, robs the deity of Christ. Because it was no selfishness at all. In fact, it was ultimately selflessness that let us be saved and in the church today, particularly as Gentiles. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness." The grouping of words is very important in the Bible because they never put them together for the sole purpose of being there with that other word. They never said, you know what sounds good? What else do we do? Bowels, that's good. Let's do mercies. Kindness, that's a good one. We ought to do something about humility. Yeah, put humbleness. That was never in their mind. It was always as it related to each other, what we had, what we should do, what needed to be done. We have, I think, an unfair standard of how we are to be perceived as Christians. We're too focused on not being pushed around that we forget that kindness is something that we should always have. It's a state of your heart. Because kindness, at its core, is a giving attitude, giving of yourself for no benefit of yourself. As God gave of Himself, we are to give of ourselves for God. The work of God is not so much something we do with our hands, but the state of our heart in the world today. And when it says add to your godliness, brotherly kindness, it is converting the state of your heart from one of self and seeking to learn and adding to yourself to do as much as you can for God yourself, that you're doing as much for God as He can, as you are allowed to do for Him. It's putting off yourself for the adding of godliness to your character. Mm-hmm. Kindness is so misconstrued that we kind of have an odd way of showing it. Or, as if you grew up as I grew up, it wasn't in the fruits of the Spirit, so it was kind of a secondary thing where it was kind of one of them deals you could or couldn't do. But you have to notice the importance that it has. People don't notice kindness about Christianity because it's a standard that they hold to us, but it's because they, in their heart of hearts, know who God is, even though they don't serve Him. God is always there in the heart of man. They just merely suppress it, ignore Him, and reject Him. So when you, having godliness, adding kindness to your heart, they see God in you, and they know what it is, and they choose to despise it. Kindness makes it is like heaping, just like that verse says, heaping hot coals upon their head. Not because you're doing something nice in spite of their hateful attitude, but because the God of forgiveness has shown through you and shown them who you serve, and in spite of everything, you still serve Him. And the Lord has blessed them through you, regardless of their rejection of Him. And they hate that. And they'll either reject it or they'll accept it. So now that we have that ironed out, notice the word before it. Brotherly. I'm not even going to ask for a definition. It's pretty straightforward. Does anyone know the difference between being kind and brotherly kindness? That's okay, I'm going to tell you. This is what sets us apart from the world right here. On top of it being just a core of our character, everything we just talked about can be emulated, if you will. And it can be faked. But this is one thing that can't. To be brotherly is to go an entire step forward, as it means to clarify the word kindness. As the rules of English dictate, it means natural. Let me see if I wrote it down. Yep, natural or becoming to brothers. Nothing against any of the women here, but it doesn't say sisterly love. A couple people still here. So brotherly love is really different. The Lord attributes brotherly and brethren to the church, as we are. Familial love, if you will. It is something that is there, even though you fight or whatever. And I grew up with four brothers. And there's something you need to know about having four brothers. You get set on a lot, and you eat last, if you are the smallest. But in the end, you do eat, and they do get off you. It's just how things work. So when you say brotherly love, in the end, you can be mad as anything at this person and still provide for them when they are in need. You put it aside. You learn to get along. So how much more so should your brothers in Christ learn to get along? Think of it this way. The world has a motto with its many cliques and sections of people, shall we say. They say, we stick together. They say, no matter what's going on, we stick together. You may not do this like I do, you may not do that like I do, but we're going to stick together. I've got your back. And in some church circles that I've noticed that if you disagree on something, they are now, instead of having your back, they have a knife in your back. And people notice. Something, this is a huge secret, so you all just turn your listeners on right here, but the world watches the church awful closely. They watch how we treat each other awful closely. In fact, when you get hurt by somebody in the church, who's the first one there to try and comfort you? It's not somebody in the church. Because they simply want to see who hurt you, what they did, and how that they're better than them in the church. So the core of our character being clarifying of godliness is brotherly kindness. How much more should we be in the church as the world are with their own? It says in Romans, I believe, to prefer one another. Preferring one another. So what do you think that means? Think with me, if you will. Mr. Personality over here is a good person. Such a kind person. Such a nice person. He doesn't go to church, but he is a good person. He doesn't believe like I do, but he's just a really good, he's just good people. And so, you get together with Mr. Personality over here, and you're talking, you're having coffee, you're hunting, you're doing whatever you want to do, and you're eating. And your church comes up, and you start talking about his church, and you say, oh yeah, well there's a guy in my church that does all this. And let me tell you, he's just a little weird. He's just a little odd. He does this, that, and the other, or they do this, that, and the other, or they eat this, and that's really weird, or they make stuff at home, and they use it as remedies, or just whatever. You know, you just go on about this person, Mr. Personality here. And Mr. Personality is sitting there, and he's thinking, man, he goes to church with them, and he has all this negative to say about them. To us, generally, we're like, he's kind of funny. But, you know, he's all right. He's all right. But the first thing you get out your mouth is, he's kind of weird. He's a little odd. He's a Yankee. We say that a lot. And the guy next to you is like, yeah, yeah. And you're like, you want to come to church with me? No, I'm good. I think I'm good. Yeah. Because they're all strange around there. They're all weird around there. They all do the stuff that you don't even like. How can I possibly like them? Now think with me, how much have we negated the godliness that they're supposed to see? Yeah. You have not clarified the noun. In fact, you've drawn a big old line through it and taken a step back. Uh-huh. How are they going to come to church and listen when we're so distracted by the imperfections of others? Oh, sometimes it's not even imperfection. Sometimes it's just weirdness. I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, I know I'm weird. And I know that I have some odd tendencies. My wife lets me know. I know. It's okay. She always tells me that's just the Yankee in them. Let them pass. You know, and they let me go. But if that's all that you focus on, is that what we're supposed to focus on? Because we are brethren fighting together in this war for the kingdom of God. And as we become closer to God, we come away, farther away from our personal preferences of how we act, how we medicate ourselves, how we do whatever. You know, instead of focusing on all that, we focus on the things we have in common, which is the treasures of God. So, all these weird people in the church... And that's what we choose to focus on with these people. Nobody's going to want to come to church. And you have not added brotherly kindness. You have added confusion, negativity, and overall division. And I say all that to say that brotherly kindness is just as important to our testimony as godliness, because people notice that. And look for when they find out our religious affiliation. How loyal are these people? How much do they really care? People tend to watch the quote-unquote church hypocrites. And they find stuff to pick on. And if we're that way, they don't have to look far. They don't even have to look because you're telling them. So when they go to church to see what this is all about, and you've been talking about Esther and say, yeah, she's just kind of weird. She's just kind of weird. And so they shake, this is Esther. Oh, hey, Esther. And you shake your hand, and what they're thinking in their head is, this is the weird one. I remember this conversation. Yeah. Nice meeting you. And so not only have you created confusion in their heart, but now you've created a liar because they said nice to meet you, and they're probably not that nice to meet you. You go up to old Zachary here, and you're like, this is Zach, he's from Canada. And they're like, oh, okay, nice to meet you. And they remember everything you said about that gentleman over there.
Oh, yes, sir.
You're like, oh, I remember him, he's Captain Maple Leaf. Yeah, I remember what he said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see what's going on here? You take away completely from the community that church is, and you make it an individual weirdos. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not a peculiar people, but just rather peculiar place to be.
Yeah.
You have created within their mind and heart a complete disruption of what church is supposed to be, which is a unity in the kingdom of God. We all serve God, but we're all just kind of different. Something that building this church has really shown us is that everyone here is from different walks of life and does different stuff for a living. We all, obviously, I know less than a lot of these people. But we can all get together and we can build a trust. We can all get together when our schedule allows and be in one accord, we're there and we're going to get this done. I have no idea what we're doing. We got there the first day, and I got gloves on, and I'm like, what are we going to do? And we stood around and did math for like 20 minutes, just trying to make sure we were right on angles. And I could do the math, but I had no idea why I was doing it. Okay? Matt's looking at me saying, this number out of this number. I'm like, yeah, it's this number. He's like, yeah, it's this number. And we're sitting there going back and forth. I'm like, yeah, it's this number. Now what?
Practical application.
Yes. I knew the numbers. I could do the numbers. It was fine. But he had the know-how with a square to sit there and move it like this, mark the wood and cut it. I'm like, that's great. How did we apply that? And he had to explain to me why in the world we're doing that. I've never done construction in my life. Matt obviously has. Seth obviously has. Everyone that has come to help, Bruce especially, obviously has done some sort in their life. All different walks of life. I'm a pencil pusher. But I can go out there and I can help because we're all one body with one goal and one mind. Now let me tell you, we're all pretty weird, but that's not what we capitalize on when we're out there. We capitalize on this is God's work, this is God's church, and we're going to do this right. And as long as we can all agree on that, we're going to get it done.
That's good.
Yeah. And we're getting it done.
Yes, sir.
But what if we were to leave the work site and go back and say, yeah, we were building trusses, and let me tell you, them people are weird. He does it this way. He wants it this way. And then Seth came in, and he's just doing all this stuff this way. And we're just trying to get this done. And he's just trying to move it and change what we're doing. What if we just went out and said that? How many people are going to come see the building just to see who did what and how we did it? Or are they coming to the church that was built of one accord, God's work? You see what I'm saying? This is the clarification of the godliness that you claim to have. It's the attitude of your heart, and it's how we are to dwell together in unity, as the Bible says. How can you be one if there's not one ounce of kindness in your heart, as is to be done? That's why it's so important to add it to godliness, to clarify that noun for people, to make sure we get it across correctly. Not as ourselves, but as God would have it. Amen.